The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to A Game from the Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking back from our experimental trip last week, along with our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
How you doing? Welcome to the It Came from the Radio comic book store.
And we also have our very own Hassan Godwin on the phone, who was not a part of our experimental process, except that he was there in spirit, right?
No, I wasn't even there in spirit.
You weren't even there in spirit. That's
no,
not cool.
I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't aware any of it was going on.
Good job not being aware.
I was well. It's obviously, apparently, the experiment went very well. There's a lot of recognition. I've seen tons of pictures and photographs and, you know, happy people expressing themselves happily about the happiness that went on. So it was apparently a big deal, a good occasion.
It was a very, very big deal. Special thanks, shout out to Carrie the intern and Brian the engineer, who are also
on
the station.
Oh my God!
They did a great job.
Without them, it wouldn't be possible.
Also, Steve Yum, he was helping us with social media stuff at the convention. Yeah, I'm putting out all this stuff on the table right now. So I'm actually doing two things at once. There we go. So if anybody has any trouble listening to us on the air,
tough,
you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com, listen to us on a live audio streaming. I found out that people who have these multimedia devices, those smartphones and whatnot, they can go and download the TuneIn app, one word, TuneIn, TuneIn app, and you can, it picks up all radio stations, so you can look for WGBB and you can hear us on your phone also, so that's important.
Yeah, I got that.
I don't have that.
I got that, because it's a smartphone.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I'm dumb. That don't mix. You got to get a smartphone with a smart guy.
I have a phone with no delusions of grandeur.
Ah.
Just a phone. And also on the GBB website, you can see us on the web camera.
And you'll know what I mean when I say it came from the radio comic book store.
Because what I put down... a small portion of what I picked up at the New York Comic Con, which was last week. This week we're going to be doing another sort of experimental thing, because we're going to be talking about the New York Comic Con and the Eternal Con, which Charlie covered, as well as we're going to be playing three interviews from the East Meadows Con, the EM Con that Charlie did.
Oh.
So we're going to be doing that also in this one little show. So I think we're going to just take away with the news first, and then we'll go back with that. We're going to do an extra short bit of news, because we haven't done news in about a month, I believe.
We didn't do news last week.
Not last week, the week before. It was quite some busy time.
Hassan did the news the week, 2 weeks before.
Yeah, no, that was a while ago. That was a long time
ago. That wasn't that long ago.
It was like a month. No. It was like a month ago.
All right, I said 3 weeks ago. I stand corrected.
Okay. So we're just going to cover the sad news, because there's been a lot of sad news for the past couple weeks. We'll start off with Anne B. Davis, perhaps most famous for her role of Alice Nelson on the television sitcom The Brady Bunch, died this past month from a subdural hematoma and never regained consciousness after falling and hitting her head the day before.
Wow.
The Brady Bunch aired from 1969 and lasted till 1974. However, she reprised her role as Alice in the Brady Bunch Variety Hour, which lasted from 1976 to 1977, and as well as made for TV movies, which is The Brady Bride, which is in 1981, A Very Brady Christmas, which is in 1988, and The Brady's, which was in 1990. She also made a cameo appearance in the Brady Bunch movie, which came out in 1995.
Truck driver.
Also...
I hated the Brady Bunch.
She was the one driving Jan around.
Yeah.
I remember the movie.
And in 1994, she wrote two books. The first book was called The Brady Bunch. Wouldn't we all to have loved to belong to a perfect family with brothers and sisters to lean on where every problem is solved in 23 and a half minutes? That was the title.
My God,
the
whole book is in the title.
This is why I liked her, because we used to study this, the Brady Bunch in high school, and pretty much the teachers said, no, psychologically, this is a very, very bad thing, because it tells you that everybody has a mom and dad, comes to dinner, like the dad comes in shirt and tie, and yeah.
And the second book was Alice Brady's Brunch Cookbook in 1994.
I would have bought that. She got me started on pork chops and applesauce.
Of note, Anne B. Davis received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1960, following the success of another series, The Bob Cummings Show.
Which
ran from 1955 to 1959, where she played Charlemagne Schultz, single secretary.
Yeah. Which was longer than the Brady Bunch run, yet she's more famous for being Alice than anybody else.
She played a single secretary who had a crush on her boss, a bachelor photographer played by Bob Cummings, and she also won two Emmys for that role.
Yeah.
So she was a big-time actress beforehand.
Sure. I knew that because I'm the
senior correspondent.
Right. I used to watch that show. It was
really
funny.
Really, was it good?
Oh, it was hysterical, and she was great in it.
How come they don't have reruns of that?
You're too busy being a radio show host.
God, they're somewhere. They have to, TV Land should be picking them up. Mm-hmm. You know, they do that. When somebody dies,
right,
they'll pick up the old shows that she was known for, which is very sad the way she left this world.
Yeah, she was 88, only 88. Mm-hmm. Side note to this, to Anne B. Davis passing away, is that one of the news outlets, the great media in the 24-hour cycle, posted a picture of the lady who played Alice in the movie as dying.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, so they put her picture up as Alice is dying.
Alice in what movie?
The Brady Bunch movie.
Oh, there was another
the one.
Alice,
when they made the new Brady Bunch movie with the new characters that looked like.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The actress that played.
Yeah.
Alice, they put her. And she's like, I didn't know I was dead.
Great researching.
Yeah. That's. Moving on with more sad news. Actress Rue McClanahan, best known for a role as Blanche DeVoe on the TV series Golden Girl, had died of a massive stroke. McClanahan has suffered a minor stroke earlier this year while recovering from bypass surgery. In 1997, she had undergone treatment for breast cancer. Prior to Golden Girls, McClanahan appeared as Vivian on a hit series Maude, starring Bea Arthur, and she also played Aunt Fran on Mama's Family in 1983. Of note, Rue McClanahan was married 6 times to Tom Bish, Norman Hartwig, Peter DeMaio, Gus Fisher, Tom Keel, and Morrill Wilson last in 1997.
And Cinco de Mayo.
And in 2007, she wrote a memoir, My First 5 Husbands and the Ones That Got Away. Yeah. Wow. She was 76.
Wow.
She was young.
Yeah.
Now, the only surviving member of that cast, I believe,
Betty White. Yeah.
Who was way older than that, by the way.
She's like 90 or something.
She's like 93. 90s. She passed. She had a 90th birthday a couple of years ago.
Okay. Don't get violent.
No letter.
I'll
no
throw
letter
one of these books at you. That's in front of me.
No letter for Alice. No letter for Rue McClanahan.
No.
And no letter for one last person who died while we were not doing the news. TV and radio legend Casey Kasem also died after suffering a long battle with lewd body dementia. Casey Kasem was known for his Top 40 Countdown, which ran from 1970 to 2009.
I used to watch that religiously.
At its peak, Casey Kasem's show was heard on more than 1,000 stations in about 50 countries. To put that in perspective, we're on one station in one country.
In one town.
Yeah.
And this is our peak. We're at our peak right now at one station, listened by Mrs. Faversham and her son.
Maybe. Sometimes the son. Her son's not always even there.
Every other day. Every other show.
Yeah, exactly. So in Casey Kasem's show, the top 40 countdown was destroyed by MTV, a station that no longer even plays music anymore.
Yeah.
So,
and of course, the the backlash to this is his wife of I don't know how many years, and now the kids are just
because he was
fighting for the money.
It was they were not only fighting for the money, but beforehand they were fighting for him. The daughters was taking him away, and the mother was throwing meat at the people. It was very crazy situation.
And then wasn't there one weird section recently that they said he disappeared?
Yeah, because somebody took him somewhere without letting the people who were their caretakers know, and he was just gone. So the judge had to order him to find him, and then he was unresponsive, and then they finally pulled the plug, and then the next day he died. Of course, for many fans, Casey Kasem was a voice actor.
Scooby-Doo!
Who voiced such characters as Robin the Boy Wonder from Scooby-Doo. 1968 to 1985 on various incarnations.
Scooby-Doo!
Of us, Super Friends.
Yeah, we know.
Alexander Cabot the Third from Josie and the Pussycats from
Scooby-Doo.
1970 from 1974.
Scooby-Doo!
Mark from Battle of the Planets, which is the first time I ever heard a superhero with my name, 1978 to 1985.
Scooby-Doo.
And, of course, Norval Shaggy Rogers of Scooby-Doo from...
I didn't know that!
You didn't know his name was Norval?
No.
From 1969 to 2009. That's just to name a few. 1969 to 2009.
Okay.
He played Norval Shaggy Rogers.
Zoinks.
Yeah, Zoinks. In his final roles, he played Shaggy's father, Colton Rogers, from 2010 to 2013 in the latest incarnation of Scooby-Doo, Mystery Incorporated. One of the biggest things that I remember is that in 2003, they had Looney Tunes back in action, and they had it was a live-action animated film with Brendan Fraser and Heather Thomas, I believe, Heather Locklear. And they were in the cafeteria, and they had Shaggy, the animated Shaggy, talking to Matthew Lillard, who played Shaggy in a live-action movie, and they were discussing his role in the movie. So it was like a send-off from the old to the new.
Could I say one thing about Casey Kasem?
Yes.
The best thing about Casey Kasem was when he had his top 40s. We used to listen to him. And if you were a musician, you did. You wanted to know what was
right.
going on. He was like the first pop-up announcer. You know, like MTV has pop-up videos?
Yeah.
He would give you a lot of anecdotes about...
The song.
You would learn... It was like Cappy Dick Fun Facts, you know?
Yes,
and it was. He was great that way. He was like... And plus his voice. He couldn't...
And he was only 82.
Wow.
So that's all our sad news that we've had. So what we're going to do, we're going to put one of the interviews. I don't know which order you did them in, but that's the order I transferred them over.
Right.
So do you remember who you interviewed first?
I hope you changed the WBGG.
No, we didn't do that.
Yeah, no. That I got dyslexic.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So who was the first? Do you remember who was the first one you did?
Yes, I do. Irene Stevens.
Okay, so we have Irene Stevens. Sure. Hopefully we'll find out in 2 seconds. We'll play the first track. This is from the EM Con of 2 weeks ago.
Hi, this is Joel Saladino from It Came From the Radio, WGBB Long Island. I'm here with Irene Stevens, who is an anime voice actress and who does very well for herself. And we're here at the EM Con, and she just was speaking live, and I must say she was excellent. Questions and answer, all those questions. tell us a little about yourself.
Sure. I am a voiceover actor, and I live in New York City, and I got into voiceovers really about 9 years ago. I got my first big break in cartoons, with Belle Dandy and Oh My Goddess, and I think that was really, I had done a few before that, English as a Second Language, if one or two cartoons, but that was my first big break, and I've been working fairly steadily in voiceovers since then with cartoons, and then in 2008 I started working with Audible.com, and I got into doing a lot of audiobooks then. So that's kind of my voiceover career, as well as working as a producer-director, too.
Now, how many voiceovers do you do? Because I know there's a lot to your credit, so...
Well, yeah. So I've been fortunate enough to work on a couple different shows.
What are the ones that are the very, very popular ones?
The very, very popular ones would be Belle Dandy in Oh My Goddess, Iris in Pokemon, and I think, Leo and Luna and Tori in Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds and Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal, respectively.
Which I'm sure all our fans are well-versed in those things. How did it start for you? What were you sitting home one day, and or were you a child and just doing so many voices, or how did it start?
I was definitely a child who did a lot of voices. I watched many cartoons, and I loved them. And I think I kind of weaned myself off in high school because I was trying to be more studious and not watch as much TV, but I've always loved cartoons. I've loved the Disney movies. I got into them not because I moved to New York. I'm not from New York, and I wanted to be an actor. And I'd been in New York probably 9 months, not quite a year, and I was offered a job as a producer-director at a recording studio.
Wow.
So, but yeah, there's like a story behind that of how I kind of got there, but that was really how I got in. I got in the back way.
Right.
Excuse me, so to speak. So, and because I was in the right place to be able to do voiceovers, the opportunities started presenting themselves. So, as a director, I really tried to be a director and not think, well, I want to do that part, I want to do this part. But I was learning as I was directing. And I loved directing, but I also loved acting. And every once in a while, there would be a part that we just didn't have the budget for, and I'd jump in the booth. And then I started to do more and more, and people would... You know, they would get something out of my voice that they thought I might be right for something else, or they worked in animation and cartoons, and they said, and that's how I got into Oh My Goddess, which was my big break. Someone that I had worked with as a director asked me to come in and audition for Oh My Goddess as one of the many women, not just Belle Dandy, and I got called back for a couple roles, including Belle Dandy, and then I got cast in it, and that really is what launched my cartoon animation career.
Now, let me ask you something, because, and make no mistake about this, folks, you have to be a great actress to do anime voice. The actress is the key word. Acting is the key word, because I've seen you here with these kids, and that is acting. Did you ever, or is there any plans in the future to be on the stage, or is this just good for now?
Well, I mentioned to the group today that I do have a master's in speech language pathology, which I will be pursuing in some capacity in the very near future. I would love to get back on stage. I've been talking about doing a cabaret. I'm also a singer. The time it requires to be able to do that and to do all that I'm doing right now, I had to make a choice, especially when I was in graduate school. I would love to get back on stage. I'd love to do a musical. And I'd love to be on camera, too. Right. But I think at some point in a person's career, you start making a choice on going in one direction. And I was fortunate enough to have success in voiceovers. So I'd love to get back to that. But nothing's in the works right now. I'm doing a showcase in June of a new musical, which I'm excited to do, but it's a one-night-only event.
Excellent. Now, let me ask you something. As a fan of TV, and so I used to work in TV, and I used to go home, and I used to see my work on TV. I was in animation.
Okay.
Okay? And anything that wasn't live video was my department. I used to go, good job. When you are listening at home to these voiceovers that you're doing, what is the feeling? What's going through your head?
Sure. I try to be a fan, or I just try to watch it and just take it as it is. But I'd be lying if I didn't have a critical ear.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think great, and then other times I think, ooh, I wish I need to let it go because it's out there, but there's always a little room for improvement. And I think it's also my mood for the day. You know, if I'm feeling great, and I think, you know, that also affects my opinion of the performance. But I've heard some things where I was like, I wish I could have done more with that role. But generally, I enjoy it. But yeah, I don't love everything that I've ever done.
Yeah. Are you like most people? You don't watch your work?
I don't much. No. I end up watching it when I'm visiting my niece or my nephews or some relatives who have kids, and they want to watch. And I had to laugh because I was with my niece, and my mom was in the room, and I think I said, oh. She said, oh, that was really good. And I didn't say anything. I just like, oh. And she just she thought that was the best oh she'd ever heard. So I love family for that, because they're pretty biased, but in that respect it's nice
now,
bias.
When you're with your family and you visit your family, do they feel like not only you came in, but 1,000 other voices with you?
Well, they're used to me being a ham, somewhat, so I always did voices, and I was always singing growing up. Yes and no. I think yes and no. I mean, my niece right now, she's really into Frozen, like every other girl.
Who isn't?
Yeah. And she also, she's a Bubble Guppies fan. I got to do a little recording for a Bubble Guppies episode. So we do this song, Pencil Case, which is, it's a really fun song. If anyone doesn't know it, it's like a Lady Gaga song. I definitely do some voices with my niece and nephews. Yeah, if I'm reading to them,
and it's great. That's a fun thing. Yeah.
It's super fun. Yeah, I mean, because if a person did voices all the time,
you're the favorite aunt, probably.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I mean, no.
But did they ever watch the animation? Go, oh, that's my aunt.
They have. And that's my sister is also a great. She's really fun too. She's equally exciting. But if I did voices all the time, it'd drive people crazy. So I try to keep them to the storybook time, and when we're playing games.
Okay, you touched a little on it, but what's down the road for Miss Stevens here?
Yeah, to continue doing the shows that I'm on. I'm auditioning all the time. Maybe California is in my future at some point. It's definitely some speech pathology and maybe the stage. I mean, I maybe Disney. That'd be really fun to be on a show or two. But I'd love to be in a Miyazaki, but he's supposedly retired, so I don't know if that dream is going to come true. But maybe I'll work with Studio Ghibli. There's always more that you can do and grow. Mm-hmm. And that's the great thing about voiceovers, is that you can be any age, any like gender, race, whatever, and you can be anyone. And that's what I love about it, is that your voice may age somewhat, but you can do younger people, older people. So, like some of the greats and those who have recently passed away, I hope to be doing this my whole life. Mm. You know, and that I I'm fortunate enough to be in a profession where that's possible. Things may change; the roles may not be exactly the same, but I hope to be doing it for the rest of my life.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And right now, I want to give you an opportunity to promo anything you have, any website, and just go ahead and get crazy.
You can find out more about me and hear some clips at EileenStevens.com. Check it out.
Okay. Eileen Stevens, thank you so much. And once again, it was a pleasure talking to you. And back to you, Mark.
Wow, back to me, Mark. Wow, that's awesome. Very nicely done. That was from the EMCon 2 weeks
ago. Because I was doing a lot of drugs. No.
That actually goes into the whole time travel theory about, you were talking to me in the future, in the past. See, look at it all worked out.
Suck that all in, because I don't do it for the other interviews.
Oh, I was all excited. But that's actually kind of interesting how, as a voice actress, after we just talked about Casey Kasem, how he just kind of all comes together.
She was wonderful. Hopefully she will be on our show shortly.
Yes.
Sorry, folk, rent the lips.
So also we're going to be talking about the other conventions. I went to the New York Comic Con Special Edition, and you went to the Eternal Con.
What's the difference between those two cons?
There you go. What is the difference? You want to feel that one?
Well, one of them, one of the big differences was in the Cradle of Aviation, which I said was a marvelous backdrop to a convention, a convention like this, because in itself, it's not science fiction, it's science fact. So you have science fiction and science fact in the same convention, and it was a great backdrop. So that was one of the big differences.
Another thing I can say is that Charlie went to more of a what people expect at a convention now, which is celebrities and comics and all mixed into
and
one.
And vendors.
Yeah, and we had Frank Patch, the head of it, of the Eternal Con. He was saying how it is different. You know, it's a whole big deal.
We had our friends at Royal Collectibles.
there. Now, Royal Collectibles is all the way in Metropolitan Avenue in Queens.
Awesome.
And they came all the way, you know, all the way. But they were, it was easier for them to vendor here.
Right, in Long Island.
Than go into
the city.
Manhattan, yeah.
The New York Comic Con Special Edition was a bare-bones, old-fashioned comic book convention, something I haven't seen since, like, the 90s. There was no celebrities beyond comic book celebrities. So, if you know, a famous writer such as Chris Claremont, who was most famous on his X-Men work, he was there, sitting all by himself. People walk up to him, talk to him. My crew that I had, my social media guy, totally geeked out on me, because basically I was like, oh, yeah, there's Chris Claremont over there. I had met him before, thanks to you, Hassan. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not a huge X-Men fan, so I really didn't have much to say to him. And I didn't have anything for him to sign, so I felt kind of awkward just going up and be like, you know, hey, what's going on? I don't know him that personally enough, and I didn't have a fan question. But my social media guy was like, oh, my God, and he ran over there, and he was all excited. And I was like, wow, I missed that feeling at a comic book convention. You know, I didn't have that same enthusiasm. This was more like, this is work. I'm going to meet some new guys. I met a whole bunch of new stuff. I mean, I have all these things in front of me. I've only read a couple of them, and we plan to have a couple of these guests on the show. These guys right here, the Boots and Pups. This is a family-friendly web comic that's published. It's like a continuation. This guy was from Boston. He was a very, very nice and friendly guy. So it was more about the comics, strictly comics. I think it worked out great that you went to the big convention as a convention. I went to the comics because I knew more comic guys.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect for you because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, you got to talk to Steve Cardenas personally when I didn't. And by the way, thanks for just throwing that on me. Because we a little behind the scenes, we had no idea what the other person was doing at the other convention.
And thank God for.
Karen and Brian were helping out, coordinating.
Because I didn't have any capacity for like a...
to hear. We couldn't hear.
We couldn't hear.
Yeah.
And I couldn't put my phone on speaker because something that was on in the Eternal Con was... We would have got that buzz all... And so now I'm saying to the people, I'm saying to the people... Now, when I hand you the phone... Just say, you know, what's going on in your world and everything. And there's a couple of people I gave it to, went, hello, hello. And then Brian jumped in, which was great.
Yeah, I really didn't expect that at all.
So to avoid that, being that you are Mr. Power Ranger, to avoid that, I threw it in your court.
So I had absolutely no idea you were going to do that. And I'm like, oh, crap, I got to think of some quick stuff to talk to him about. And
it
worked out great. And the fact that you know, I'm on my end trying to coordinate stuff, and I had an interview set up, you know, beforehand. I talked to a couple of guys. I interviewed Brian Kong last week, and I was like, all right, Brian, you know, I'm going to be kind of here at 4 o'clock. You know, I'm going to be asking you some questions. He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. About 5 minutes before, he goes, yeah, I'm going to go over there. And then he runs away from me.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, come back here.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to talk to him. He's like, I'm talking to a guy right now. Give me a minute. I'm like, I don't have a minute. I'm live.
Well, yeah, right. Well, and the good part about where you are is it was one level.
Yes, it was one
floor. I had to run up 3 flights of stairs, come back 2, go back 1, and... For my interviews, it was good exercise.
So yes, the another difference is that the New York Comic Con Special Edition was just one floor. It was in the northern part of the Penn Pavilion, the Javits Center. Oh man, and it was better spaced out than it was normally, because you know you go there and it's just like rows and rows and rows of artists. And I thought it was going to be a bad idea for the actual convention. It was very experimental for them too. From them also, we've had Mike Armstrong. He was on the show. And it was very experimental for them to try something different, just a full old-fashioned comic book convention. And when I got there, it felt like a regular real convention. But the fact that every time I've been to the Javits Center was for a huge convention, it felt like something was missing. You know, it's like desolate except for that little tiny part that's any type of action. Everything else was just closed down. So that was another weird feeling for me. I mean, you had the entire building all to yourself.
We just had
a little area on the convention. So it was very, very weird.
Our area was a little like the Guggenheim Museum. It was like a semicircle when you walk in, and it was very well spaced for the amount of vendors and people that they had. And they were up against the wall, and you had plenty of room to walk. It wasn't like, and there was a lot of people there Saturday.
Saturday was a very, very popping day, as the kids say. Sunday, not so much. Sunday was kind of slow.
Again, Father's Day, people out with their families. Although, at my convention, a lot of the fathers were with the kids, and they were all dressed up. Even the dads were dressed up, which I thought was great. And if you go to our Facebook page and look in the album, you'll even see some of those children with the lightsabers with Darth Vader, which I thought he was great doing that, and he always lost to them.
You know, but that's really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was together. It would be one giant normal convention, I would say.
Right.
But separate, it was a very different experience. I think it would have been cool if we would have managed to switch, like, you know, like we do one day one place and one day the other place.
That would have been crazy, Mark.
it was crazy as it was. I met, let me see. I read this one. This is Recipes for the Dead by Vera Green Tea. This is a very good book. A quick starter campaign that they did.
Looks like my first girlfriend also.
What was interesting about this young lady was that she had a book, and we were talking about her book, and we got a sale. You know, she sold stuff to the people I was next to,
right.
And then some random guy was like, "I'll buy one too." So we even got a side sale for her, which is something I haven't seen in years. That we just talking to somebody hand to hand. They just another person had a sale, and it's good. And I guess the convention feel itself is pretty different than I'm used to, because there wasn't a lot of, you know, I'm not here for comics. It's a comic book convention. There's only comics here. You're here for comics. And I talked to a lot of people, and they said that,
and it was the feel actually was really truly Comic Con.
Yeah,
really truly.
Yeah. So how was the feel of people on your end? I mean, was it different or compared to the MCon? Because you went to the MCon also.
Yeah, the both cons were good that I went to. This one, the people were at their tables, and they were just so cordial to everybody. There wasn't a bad vibe in the house.
That's good.
And which was great. Everybody was into it. A lot of the vendors dressed, and they were just interacting with the people just passing, and then a lot of vendors just sat there very docile, and then people came over, and then they explained stuff to them.
So speaking of interaction, do you know who the second clip we have, the interview we have?
Well, it either could be our samurais, either Sari or Yoshi.
Yeah. All right, so let's play that one.
Hi, this is Charlie Saladino, WGBB. It came from the radio. I'm sitting here with two of the most amazing people in the world, and I am going to introduce you to them right now. First person is Yoshi
Amao.
And Yoshi is a martial artist. He's an actor, and he's a voice actor also. And we're also sitting with Sari, and she is also a voice actress. And Yoshi's assistant, who gets hit on the head and every... No, she doesn't. She just... This was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But it's a Nerf sword, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, I want you to tell our audience a little about yourself and all that good stuff.
Yeah. How are you today?
I'm good.
Yeah. No, I'm so excited. I just finished my samurai lecture, samurai sword fighting, and samurai boot camp. Everything was received pretty well. I love people here. East Meadow Library. I love you, Charlie.
Yes, because you said you would die for me as my samurai, right? Yeah. But what Yoshi just said is an amazing lecture. It's amazing learning experience, and it's not to be taken lightly. It's just being in the library, it was a learning experience. And then there's a demonstration, and when Yoshi and Sari do the demonstration, it's amazing to me.
Thank you.
It's just an amazing thing. Now, as the assistant,
mm-hmm.
okay, and as the person who has to, if you haven't seen them, they get kids up and they teach them a little bit about sword handling and samurai, and then Sari gets out there and has to fight them.
Right.
So, as the person who has to fight them, did you ever have a mishap other than today?
Yeah, it happened today. Yeah. But it means maybe everyone got excited. So they couldn't stop the sword.
Yeah.
So that means maybe it's fine because I'm alive.
Yeah. Thank heavens to the nerf sword, right? But anyway, so what's ahead for Yoshi?
What's ahead?
What's ahead? What are you doing, in the future here?
In the future, yeah. Now I finish this month and next month, another performance. And we just came back from Houston, Texas.
Right.
And we had a performance for corporate event.
Right.
And June and July, another performance in August. Oh, in August, we are going to Quebec, Canada for the festival. There are 3 days performance, and that time only 2-person performance with not Saori but another guy, me and the young Japanese guy, samurai performance. And I don't know what we're gonna do, but probably so fantastic and amazing and fun stuff.
I can just imagine, because this was amazing. And if you haven't seen this, you said you were going to be in Mineola. And what was that, Sunday, next Sunday?
Mineola, that's August the 2nd.
Okay.
Mineola Library.
Yeah.
This is for kids' show.
Yeah, if anybody is in the vicinity, definitely go to the library in Mineola, and you have to see this performance. It's amazing. But how did you get started with all this?
Well, when I was a kid, I learned kendo first.
Right.
Kendo is a Japanese sword fighting, very, very traditional stuff. And before that, why I started the sword fighting is my mom always said, Yoshi, you looked like a samurai when you were a baby.
Yeah.
And she repeated say, you look like samurai, you look like samurai. And they showed me a lot of TV show, including Samurai. So, Three Samurais, Seven Samurai,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
The famous Kurosawa movie.
Yeah.
But there were TV show, Three Samurais, including sword fighting and also comedy. That's my base.
Yeah,
so I loved sword fighting, I loved acting, I loved comedy so much.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So I think that's the start. And my father not do anything about art or fighting or theater stuff. My mom was like that kind of person.
Right.
My father was a businessman. And so I'm doing business too as a producer of my samurai group. So well-balanced samurai, I am.
Yes.
I hope.
No, you are. I am sitting right in front of a samurai. I know. And he also said he would die for me. I don't know why, but he said that. Anyway, now let's talk about the voice acting. Sorry, what are you into? Tell us what you're into with voice acting.
I'm doing voiceovers for commercials or corporate videos and
right.
also TV shows. But not only voicing, I'm doing acting and some sword fighting too.
Which was my big question to voice actors and actresses. Don't you want to get on stage and stuff like that and do that? But I guess they a lot of people like to do the voiceovers, and that they say, yeah, that's always welcome. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so, because they are very close in something, the same stuff they have.
Yeah, you have to act even though you're
right.
not on stage.
That's
when you're
true.
Right now.
That's
actually
true.
I use everything. I use my voice, I use my body.
Right.
Also, I'm using my hand. Sometimes I do hand model too. So
hey, you got, believe me.
I was born to be an entertainer.
Yes.
Please use everything, whatever you like.
Yeah, the whole package deal. And let me tell you something. When you watch this, I was so amused, and you had me cracking up at times. And it was so, and just little things you were saying that nobody was catching, that I was, Mr. Science, when you call that computer kid Mr. Science.
Yeah, yeah.
That was hysterical. Well, okay, Mr. Science over here.
Yeah.
And I'm like laughing, and meanwhile, I'm videotaping you, and when people see that on TV, they're going to see the videotape shaking, and that's because Yoshi made me laugh, all right? It's not my fault. But, you said you go you just came from Houston.
Yeah, from New York, Manhattan.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did they accept you in Houston? Did they like the show?
Houston? Oh, Houston? Yeah. Houston people like our show, but some people are too much drunk. You know?
Yeah.
This is a corporate event, the kind of celebration.
Yeah.
And they invited us for only 8 minutes show.
Oh, really?
And act one, 4 minutes. Act two, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
They liked our show, but some people get so excited and too much drunk. And one person shouted when I appeared on stage, "He looks like Mishima Yukio." Mishima Yukio is one of the very famous writer in Japan, and who suicided.
Great. That's good.
Anyway, they got excited, and we excited so much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, excellent. Well, I am looking forward. I'm making a formal invitation for the both of you to come on our show.
Come on our show.
And I have your contact information.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this right now. You guys are going to be on the show.
Yeah.
And our listeners, you better listen, because these people are great here. So anyway, you will see me on our Facebook with Yoshi and Sari, because we're going to take a picture now.
Yeah.
And anyway, thank you guys so much for the interview, and thank you guys for the show. I learned so much, and if you are ever, we will give you folks all the contact information, and you get in touch with these people, and they'll tell you where they're performing and stuff like that, and what they're doing and what's going on in their lives, and we will get them on the show, and that's about it. So thank you guys so much for the show and for doing the interview.
Thank you so much. Arigato, domo arigato. And my contact is yoshiamao.com, yoshiamao.com. And my email address is yoshiamao@gmail.com. You can contact me anytime, and I have very open mind for you.
There you go. What about you, Sari?
Thank you so very much, and talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah.
Contact me anytime. My name is Sari Goda. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
I love Charlie.
Yeah, he said he would die for me. Tell him.
No, back to Mark? No, back to Mark this time?
I did say back to Mark, but I cut myself off.
Oh, okay.
I'm lying. I didn't say back to Mark.
Yeah, he was like, meh, Mark.
Yeah.
So that was once again from the MCON, which was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
quite an interesting a guy. Was it amazing? I noticed that.
Let me tell you something. Could you tell that I was like totally taken with these people? They right? What a show! And they do the history of the summer, and I'm sitting there,
right.
And I'm like, oh my god, I didn't know that. I finally learned what Shogun was, and it was just. If you see, they're on YouTube.
Right.
You can go on YouTube and see like part of the show.
Oh, okay.
And it's just it's an amazing display of martial arts. Plus, he is a comedian, and he
loves Charlie.
He does a Disney thing on Disney HD called Going Gong.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's sort of like a game show for kids. And he's very funny on that, and just a great guy. And sorry, it was so adorable. Did you hear that voice?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the pictures are up on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
So we're also talking about the double con duty we did last week.
Yes.
Which was weird, because we had both heads of both conventions, and we went to both conventions.
Right.
Was your feeling, because you went to the Internal Con,
right?
When you had Frank, and we had Mike, and I went to the New York Comic Con,
right?
A special edition.
Right.
Did you have a feeling of what you thought the other convention was going to be like? Because in my mind, I'm like, all right, I have an idea of what Frank, the picture Frank was painting. And then when you were over there in the pictures, I see, it's like, okay, it was pretty much exactly like he promoted it. This
right.
was the big convention. This is the celebrities. This was a lot of stuff. It was a great backdrop to my mind. What did you think of what was going on at what I was at my end?
I just thought that anybody who was into just comics would have been in their glory at Comic-Con because... when I was at Eternal Con, there was comic book people there and artists and all that. And I was just thinking, wow, this is just a little part of this. Mark must be in his glory. This has to be the whole con over there, and which I was right.
Yeah, they promoted it exactly right. And what Frank said is that there is, well, actually both of them, they said there is place for both cons at the same time.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that hurt it was that the vendors or the talent was spread out. But the fact that both cons were on the same day and far enough apart, it wasn't like they were next door to each other. It was like
right.
across the street where they had what was that cartoon? The Popeye cartoon where they were getting for Wimpy, that they wanted to have Popeye had one joint and Bluto had the other joint. They were fighting across the street. This was This was far enough away, to keep it separated. And I didn't see there was any negativity towards each other, and it was really a good time had by all, at least on my end, what I saw. And
I saw it a great opportunity for locals in both boroughs to get to a con that weekend, and the people on Long Island was ecstatic with this. I was talking to a couple of people, and they said, this is great, having it in, again, I keep repeating this, but the Cradle of Aviation. And that, I think, was so key to having science fact and science fiction in the same on the same three levels, because I know it was three levels, because I was running up and down getting interviews.
So, but, Hassan, I know you've done the big cons, you've done little cons, you've actually worked for a comic book company which did conventions. What is your take from what we're talking about here?
I don't know.
You don't know?
The situation with the cons that I work the Wizard cons for the most part.
Right.
And, you know, I walked around and I looked at wonderful oohs and ahs and stuff like that, and, they help people out with, setting up and stuff like that. But I've never actually got a chance to actually speak to some of these people at any length about what they were doing and what they've been all about. I don't know, it's kind of the nature of the job that I had that I really couldn't do it, but also, like, you know, I'm not that forward to actually, it's like, oh, so, explain to me what you're doing here and what your purpose and your goal is. So
right.
It's really eye-opening, not only, like, especially this last one, the last interview that you played, not only, to find out exactly how passionate some of these people are and what they're about and what they want to do, but also, how dynamic they can be and their personalities are, because a lot of times they're not these people. I mean, it's not a negative thing, because that's the nature of where we are, but these people can be kind of introverted sometimes, and you never really realize that they're exceptional characters themselves until you go and poke the bear a little bit,
right?
I think it was pretty awesome. I think the interviews were pretty awesome. I think that was a really well done job right there, especially for Charlie. So congratulations.
Yeah,
well, thank
you. Pretty awesome. I enjoyed it.
And there was another thing that I really forgot to mention, that at the Eternal Con, when you go into the parking lot, there's an area before the Cradle of Aviation that nobody parks in. It's for drop-off. They utilized that space to put up tents where there was these medieval cosplay guys.
Really?
Who actually gave sword fighting lessons. And then along the wall, they had the cars. So there was, they utilized the outdoor space for the sword fighting, which you could have never did inside.
Right.
And that I thought was great. And also the people who were dressed up, that were from certain groups,
right,
walked around and they intermingled with the, which you can't get at a Comic-Con.
Right.
Yeah, so
I do have to say that I'm kind of a mixed, it's a mixed bag of emotions as far as I'm concerned with some of that stuff, because I think that's where the shows are going, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all, where they're turning into like these variety shows for the most part, where everybody who's doing anything kind of quirky and creative are welcome, and it's kind of, you know, this one time only hub of all the freaks and geeks, and you know, and especially all of that said in a good way, you know, where they could come from. But also the NYCC special edition, I think it's really great that it's getting back to the nature of the comic book, you know, the comic book convention in and of itself. Like, it's important to emphasize that this 90% of this started as a comic book genre,
right.
You know, and they branched out into movies and you know, cosplay and all that other stuff, which is, I have no issue with, but I think comics tend to get drowned in all of that activity.
It usually does, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And so I think it's great that they're, it's both great that those shows are growing and it become a home for everybody, but it's also great that somebody out there has said, you know, okay, let's make sure that we acknowledge where we all came from and emphasize just the comic books, at least for one time, you know,
right,
during the year. So I think both of them are, you know, I it's weird because I really appreciate both ideas about both those shows, which is, and in what comic, you know, like San Diego is like the apex, but what comic book conventions are turning into. You know, as long as we remember that they are essentially comic book conventions from the start, and we get back to it every now and then, I don't have any problem with how big they're growing and what they're growing into.
Hmm. I do have to say, yeah, it was, like I said, I haven't been to a real comic book convention since the 90s. That's a long time ago.
Obviously, the base 90s. Idea behind
when
this
was the 90s?
Extra Comic Con.
Yeah, so I think it worked out very well, I have to say. Do you know how long the last interview you had is?
It's not long, but I don't know if we're going to make it.
Brian, do you know how long that last interview is? Does it say how much time is on that? It's a 3-minute interview? Oh, 4 minutes? All right, so we got time. So we're going to play that final interview. Do you know who this one is?
Yes, that's...
Hitomi Himekawa?
Yes.
All right, so let's play the Hitomi interview.
This is Charles Saladino, WBGG. It came from the radio. I'm sitting here at AMCOM with... Hitomi
Himekawa.
Yeah, she is a songwriter. She's a singer. She's a dancer. She's a producer of her own group, Rainbow Bubble. Am I right?
Rainbow Bubble.
And she is she's a lovely young lady, and we're going to talk to her now. Tell me what's going on in your world.
Oh, in my world, I'm always being cute, like a meow meow. And keep writing songs and putting lyrics from all inspirations from friends, family, and you know, fans, and keep performing and getting sponsor, making my own fashion brand, and making a music video. It's a lot going on, I know.
Well, you also have a little spot out there where you're selling a lot of your products, aren't you?
Yes, cat ears, so everybody can be cute like meow meow.
And also we, now it came from the radio, also has a CD which we'll be featuring on our break next Sunday, and they could all get to hear you and all good stuff like that. What's down the road? What's ahead for you?
Next show will be Internal Con in Long Island.
Right.
Internal is a anime convention, and then we'll be performing and also bringing a lot of like imported Q merchandise for all the anime lovers and, you know, Lolitas.
Yeah. So let me ask you something. If somebody wanted to get in contact with your organization, your organization, what would they do?
Usually the fastest way is go on Facebook. If you find Rainbow Bubble Girls on Facebook, like our fan page and then send us a message from there, that probably will get a fastest response. If not, you can try Rainbow Bubble Girls at gmail.com.
And are you performing anywhere with the group lately?
Yeah, as I say, Internal Con. It's also in Long Island. It's June.
Right.
June 13 to 15, or I think so, or 14, 15. I don't remember.
Right.
Just the second Saturday and Sunday.
Right. Well, they can go on your Facebook page and find out, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They'll find out.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for talking to us. I know you're crazy busy, because every time I look, you're busy at that stand. So, like I said, we will be featuring Tomi's CD next week on our show. And it was such a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure to talk to you, too. And I hope all my followers in Long Island, you have a good day. Have a great day. If your parents told you not to follow anime, just tell them you're following something better than drugs or, you know, like a stripping singer. So, yes, anime.
Thank you so much.
I gotta say, I love Hitomi Himekawa. She's been on the show. She's a great singer, and that was the weirdest interview, just as weird as last week when she did it.
Yeah.
So we're actually like a minute and a half second left. So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go onto our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. You can listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that other social media stuff, and we'll see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.